Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are talking to Rebecca Sherpels, the ARC of Indiana, Self-Advocate of Indiana Administrator, and the ARC Network Employment Advocate. We are talking about a new initiative that ensures people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are allowed choices in their living situation. It's called My Life, My Choice, and it's to educate and empower those with disabilities that they should have a choice in their living situation. And Rebecca Sherpels is here to talk with us about this project. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, Michelle.
It's good to see you.
Same to you.
This is huge for Self-Advocates of Indiana, and you have to be so excited about this project. Talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're really looking forward to getting this off the ground. It'll be starting officially in July of this year and running through the end of the year. This was an initiative brought to us by the state. The state of Indiana has contracted the ARC of Indiana as an independent third party to talk about choice and to help people living in nursing homes who have a developmental or intellectual disability to share with them what their options are. If they're interested in living out in the community, if they want just more community involvement within their living current living situation in the nursing home, just to talk to them about what their choices are. We're especially excited about the model for these interviews because it's going to be different than anything that we've done before and really empowering not only the people that are being interviewed, but also self-advocates across the state. The way that we're doing this is sending out teams of two in areas all over Indiana, and these teams, a lead and a support interviewer, will have a one-on-one conversation, about an hour long, getting to know the individual a little bit and hearing about what they like in the nursing home setting. And our lead interviewer is going to be another self-advocate, somebody who might understand, who might be able to relate, who might have lived in the situation themselves, who's asking a peer-to-peer question about what their situation's like and where they want to see themselves in the future.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what then the interview will speak about as far as, is it a private interview? What happens in that process?
For these interviews, we're going to have, of course, the individual with the disability. That's our key person that we want to be talking to. But then, of course, their guardian, if they choose to be in on these meetings. And then the lead and support interviewers. If there are others that choose to be involved, you know, we'll work with that on a case-by-case basis to get the right team of people in there. But again, we want this to be a comfortable conversational setting where the individual with a disability understands the big picture and can talk openly about what they want for their own life in the future, empowered by the individual with the disability, the lead interviewer asking these questions.
And you said talk about things openly in these interviews and kind of sitting down with them. Do you find that when you approach somebody and say, what do you want, that there's not a openness about it, that they are kind of inside themselves because they don't want to reveal what they want?
I think sometimes in certain situations, people might be hesitant to open up or think that there's a right answer. Our emphasis with this is that there isn't a right answer. We want to know what you think, what your ideas are, and record that and react to that appropriately. And you know, if your thought is leaning towards a possibility and looking into possibilities to move into the community, we want to help you get there. If it's to stay in your current nursing facility and continue living there, we want to, you know, see if there's ways that you might want to get engaged in the community in other ways through maybe clubs or small groups, but definitely supporting the decision to live where the individual wants, you know, and wherever their medical needs might allow, that sort of thing.
So let's talk about then what the timeline is for all of this to be done.
Sure, it's a big project. We're looking at between 1,500 and 2,000 individuals across the state that will be interviewed by one of 20 interview teams. So that means each team's going to have about 100 people within their area, you know, their county and probably the surrounding counties. We don't want people spending all their time driving to the interviews,
so
finding times or areas where they know the community so that they might know references or places that people can come to in the community. So starting in July through October, we'll have a four-month span where people will be meeting with individuals in the nursing homes, setting up interview times, probably about an hour for each interview, and coordinating that with the nursing facility, the guardian, all the players, so that everybody has an opportunity to be part of this. And that'll run its course through the end of October, and then we'll get our results to the state, hopefully by the end of the year. Past that, if people do say that they'd like to move out, we're looking at about a 6-month turnaround to process it. It takes some time to get people in the right spot. We don't want to steal people away in the night. It's about finding them the right spot so that they have the most successful option, the most likely chance to make it work in the community.
Now, talk a little bit about the training on the 26th and 27th of June, right?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what's going to happen there.
We've got a 2-day training set up that will bring in all of our team members, the interviews, both the leads and the supports, to talk about not only the background of this project, but also the methods, and train people on why it's important, how to be a good interviewer. For our lead interviewers, it's going to be a lot about eye contact and asking clear questions. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to have introductions of the technology that we're using for this. Just looking at different ways that we can record accurate data. We're going to be using one iPad for every team. They're going to be sent out in the field with their own iPad that has a personalized, customized app for this program that will lead them through a series of questions that are straightforward, that have been recorded, so that the individual who's doing the interviewing, our lead interview self-advocate, can go through the questions and either read them his or herself, or if they choose to, they can push a button on that iPad to read a recording so that they are still the ones more or less asking the question and that it continues to be that conversation. This will also help to verify that the information that's gathered is accurate and that it's submitted in a timely fashion, because once the interview's done and everything's cleared through, we hit submit and it's sent to all the people who can start making things happen, whether that's making sure that if they're staying in the nursing facility, that it's the best spot for them, and that if it's moving out of the nursing facility, that it starts happening.
We've been talking about this project, and it is so important. You have to think about how people got in the nursing home situation in the beginning, and it's kind of a sad thing at times. How do people get in those situations at first?
It's tough to give a brushstroke answer to this. You know, if we're talking to 2,000 people, there's probably 2,000 stories, and keeping the individual at the center of this, we don't want to pretend that we know the circumstance for every family.
Sure.
But some examples of why somebody with a disability might be in a nursing home might be for medical needs. Maybe at one time they needed the support and care that a nursing facility gives best. And if that medical need is no longer in place, maybe they're still there and just haven't been worked out of the system. It might also be due to a family member. Maybe you lived with a parent who became part of the elderly population and the parent needed the care of a facility, so they moved in with their child. If that parent has passed away at this point, the child with a disability may be 30, 35 years old, for example, and living in the nursing home and having that support system, but that might not be where they need to be for the next 40, 50 years of their life when the care was intended for a parent. So there's various situations that might have led to somebody living in a nursing home. And what we're looking to do is find the people who have maybe fallen through the cracks, who it was supposed to be X amount of time and that's just gotten prolonged for one reason or another. So if it's time for that next step or moving back or trying something new, again, finding those people who have kind of fallen through the cracks in that system.
So tell everyone what are the options as far as that goes?
Absolutely. I'm glad that you asked that. It's first of all, it's not an overnight process. It's not like if you say to me today, yeah, I want to move out, that I'm going to be here tomorrow to pick you up and move you out. We want to take the time to make sure that it's the right process, the right step, the right community that you'd be moving into. Once an individual says that, yes, I want to move out, I'd like to look into my community options, it'll go back to the state, to FSSA, to start that process. It could take up to 6 months or so. That's sort of an estimate, depending on how long it takes you to get through the different steps. There's different assessments that have to happen. And again, making sure that someone's not just tossed into a community that they don't know. Mm-hmm. If they have family in a certain area, we don't want to move them to the other side of the state where they're not going to know anybody.
Right.
We want to keep them in a community where they would be comfortable living. As far as their specific living setting, again, it really depends on their situation. It could be a group home setting, perhaps a waiver home setting where they might have a couple of roommates. Maybe best case scenario, there's a couple people at the nursing home that are, two or three of them are interested in moving out. They're friends. Maybe they get an apartment together as part of a waiver setting. That could be an option. Moving back in with the family. There's no specific answer to where they'll go, just like there's no specific reason they came in the first place. But it's finding the best option for that individual. So, and also just making sure that people are medically ready, that there isn't a medical need or concern that they couldn't handle in the community, even with some staff or daily care. It's about you know, getting their quality of life to the best possible spot, whether that's staying in the facility or finding a new home in the community.
The Arc of Indiana is going to be involved in this project, obviously, Self-Advocates of Indiana. So who can they contact?
Melody Cooper, the president of Self-Advocates of Indiana.
Cooper.
I know. So Melody Cooper is going to be a key person, myself and then some other staff members here. And then we'll be the main liaison to the not only families and individuals who might have questions, but also the teams across the state. So they can reach us here at the ARC. That number is 317-224-0249 if anybody has any direct questions. But definitely, you know, check out the podcast. We've got some frequently asked questions. We're excited to get the information out and to have these open conversations with the individuals. So
we gave people your number, but can they email you too?
Absolutely, yeah. If you've got questions, contact me either way. It's R Sherpels. So I'll spell it out for you. It's RSCHERPELZ at arcind.org. So you can always find us online as well if that was a little confusing.
Rebecca Sherpels, thank you so much. This project, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you. Well, you've heard it. And I always present facts that let you decide how you want to help here on the show. But right now, I want to talk to you for a moment. Please, be a person who lends a hand to help on this project. The greatest gift you can give to someone is to show them you care, and then showing them that actions back up those words. By lending a hand, you put a smile of freedom on these people's faces that they get to direct their life, and you are a part of it. You will be glad you put forth the effort to change someone's life for the better. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.